Hello, hello, everyone. Morgan here with the Rogue Preparedness Podcast. Thank you all so much for joining in today. This is going to be an amazing podcast because today, and I'm going to jump right into it. I'm not going to be doing anything else because Dr. Roland, the founder of Jace Medical, is here with us as my guest, and I am so excited to talk to him. And I know you guys are going to really benefit from this conversation. So let's jump right into it. Dr. Roland, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Morgan. Thank you for having me. Any chance we get to help raise awareness of our mission and what we do at Jace, we're all about it. So we appreciate the opportunity and the platform here.
Well, I'm really thankful you were able to take the time because I know we were talking about this before the show, but I wanted to tell everybody here too, like when I first heard about Jace Medical and like, you know, sending antibiotics to the door and stuff like that, I was really, you know, suspicious. And I was like, well, I don't understand how that works. Like that doesn't sound logical. And I've gotten a lot of people telling me the same thing that doesn't sound right. So first of all, I want to hear where this idea came from and kind of how it works.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. Where do we start? The genesis of Jace is an interesting story, and then it helps explain kind of how and why we do what we do now. I guess maybe what I'll do is start with just our mission at Jace Medical is basically we're on a mission to prepare to help everyone be better prepared medically, and we do that by utilizing telemedicine. And we've kind of started this focus of medical preparedness, with antibiotic supplies. So, and the reason why, I guess, antibiotics, there's a few reasons there, and that kind of gets into how we got started. Basically this was probably, back in 2017, around there, I was working in a community hospital, kind of near our southern border, and working in the hospital daily, we'd always have meetings with our team, including the hospital pharmacist, who would come in and just let us know kind of what was going on as far as access to medications and supplies in the hospital. Now, remember, 2017, it's pre-pandemic. Things are going pretty well, generally speaking. Around the US and hearing that things might not be, we might not have a certain medication or something. This was just really, it came out of left field for me, and I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was thinking, here I am in a first tier healthcare system, and you're telling me that we're running short on what were vital medications. And so that was the very kind of beginnings of Jace. And I ended up doing a lot of research after that because of that. And what I came to find out was something that to me was really concerning. And that is that we've gotten to this point in the United States where when it comes to our pharmaceutical supply chain, our ability to manufacture pharmaceuticals is virtually non-existent within the United States. All of our generic medications and generic medications really account for over 90% of what gets prescribed in the US and what gets consumed in the US on a daily basis. All of those generic medications come from overseas. Most of them come from China, India. There's factories kind of scattered all around, but even those other factories get most of their active pharmaceutical ingredients from just a couple of places. And again, China always pops up. So finding out, wow, we have no production capacity here. All this stuff comes from overseas. That's concerning to me. Now fast forward through to the pandemic, and we're at the height of the pandemic. We relocated as a family, where I opened up a new practice. And for the first time I had access to how much medications really cost. As physicians, you know, that's just not really a part of our education. It's, we typically are insulated from the cost of what we prescribe. And a lot of that has to do with insurance companies. But so for the first time I had access to see really what these medications cost that I was prescribing. And again, I was super surprised and shocked actually at how affordable they really were. And so we're at this height of the pandemic. there's a lot of uncertainty. We were coming into this winter, this first winter, when flu and COVID were going to combine to create, you know, this dark winter, and everyone was worried. And I was worried for my this new practice I was starting with my new patients, my family, and our safety. And so at that time I started to get, you know, I had medications for my own practice and for myself, of course. And then I felt guilty because I thought, well, I've got all these medications, I'm prepared. What about my neighbors? What about my own? What about my parents? What about my friends and family? And so that is really, I think, where Jace was born. I spent another year figuring out, is there a way that I can provide these, in this case, it was antibiotics, provide them to people in a way that's safe, that's appropriate, that's legal, you know, all these considerations when you're talking about healthcare in the US, being able to do it appropriately. And thankfully telemedicine was starting to really come into its own again, maybe put on fast forward because of the pandemic. It was another way to deliver healthcare that people were getting used to, and states were coming on board. And so that was Jace. And I guess I should quickly just specifically mention antibiotics specifically. So on this mission to empower people to be better prepared medically, it's a pretty ambitious mission. There's a lot that goes into medical preparedness. Everyone's different. Everyone's unique. Everyone has their unique health needs and considerations. And so it's a big ask. But when it comes to antibiotics, that's something that really applies to everybody at one time or another. Most of us have benefited from the use of antibiotics. If you look at the top causes of death around the world, just say 100 years ago, all of them, the top three, four, or five of them, were all related to bacterial illnesses in one way or another. Through the advent of antibiotics, it's just something that now, in a lot of ways, we take for granted. You get a little urinary tract infection, you get a little pneumonia, whatever it is. You take your antibiotics and you're fine. These are things that were deadly not too long ago. So again, one way or another, we all can benefit from antibiotics. They apply it to just about everybody. There's only a few things I need to know about you in order to make sure that they're safe for you when it comes to your allergies, what other medications you're taking. And so relatively speaking, it's pretty straightforward. And so that's a way that we could start this mission, help people be better prepared. I don't want to get ahead of any of your questions, but I think applying this mission to what's going on around us, each time I do one of these interviews, there's some new catastrophe that is directly applicable to what we're trying to do. So that was my very long answer to your question. I hope. Sorry about that.
No, that was amazing. I love that. I mean, you can really, like, you hear the passion. You know, this is something that you're truly passionate about. You didn't just do it to, like, you know, make money or something. Like, you are a physician, and you have seen this firsthand, and you see, you know, the shortcomings of, you know, access to this stuff and whatever. And honestly, you know, for the price that Jace charges, is like nothing compared to, you know, actually having this stuff available whenever, you know. And what I really, really, you know, I'm going to try to say this really nicely, but whenever preppers talk about antibiotics, they're always just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get the fish antibiotics or whatever. And I'm going to ask you that in just one second. But I think one thing that eludes a lot of preppers is the dosage, when and how to use it. Why would you ever use the antibiotics? And how would you diagnose yourself to use the antibiotics? Now,
yes.
And I bring that up all the time, and I'm like, I just don't feel comfortable, you know, and there wasn't a lot of that information. And I'm like, I don't, you know, want antibiotics just hanging out, you know, when I have no idea how to use it. And that's the same with everything that I have in my house, everything that I prep. I'm not going to prep something if I don't know how or when or why I'm going to use it. And so the booklet that comes with Jace, that hit the nail on the head there. I mean, it really educated me. And I think it was something that was really necessary with this kit. And I loved it that was included. And I talk about it, like, every time I talk about Jace, I'm like, it comes with a booklet. It tells you how to use it. And
no, you've hit on, like, Yes, those are, that's the difference between just being, and I have to remind people of this sometimes too, especially right when they first hear the idea, or if they push back on certain aspects of sometimes they do push back on price. And I try to remind people, like, look, you're not just walking into your Walgreens, and we're not a pharmacy that you just come and pull some meds off the shelf and take them home. Right. It would be unsafe. It would be inappropriate. And so, yes, you hit on, when you really look at everything that's included here, yes, the medications themselves are vitally important, but just as important is knowing how to take them, when to take them, if you should take them, the dangers, the risks associated with them, all the other details. Right. And so part of our service is just that. And we're dedicating more and more resources every day. In fact, we're in the middle of a pretty big redesign of our website with a huge emphasis on education and resources when it comes to information about the medication and all the things you brought up, you know, how to take them and when to take them. So education is a big part, and I'm very passionate about education. I do it in my own practice with my patients. It's part of how I structured my practice so that I could have the time necessary to really sit down and explain, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we talking about this? And that part of it, instead of just the quick, you know, you're lucky to see your doctor for 10 minutes, maybe ask a question. You've got 10, but you've got time for one or two. That's just not how I work. And so we're bringing that into this process as well. Education is a big part of it. You're getting the medications, like you mentioned, the guidebook, you're getting the resource of being able to write in. You can email anytime to the Jace medical team. If you've got a medical related question, it gets forwarded to a physician. A lot more service than just going and buying some fish antibiotics. Right. And there's a lot of value there, an important value. And you're very right to be responsible and concerned about, not only is there, how do you take it and when do you take it? And this question about fish antibiotics comes up. So I'll answer it now.
Yes, please.
Is the question that we get typically is, well, aren't these the same medications from the same factories? There's two answers to the pet antibiotics. Just the first quick one to get out of the way is, now this hasn't yet happened. But what I have been told and what I've seen is that, there is actually legislation that has been, finalized that in this summer in 2023, they're supposed to be changing, how antibiotics for pets are dispensed, and basically they're going to require the same prescriptions.
I think they're catching on to the preppers. They're like, can't have all these preppers buying these fish antibiotics. So they got to control it now. Yeah, no.
Right. So there's that part of it, which this may be a thing that, hey, it's the second part to my answer is a moot point. If we're in the same boat, needing prescriptions for pet antibiotics. But to the second point, and that is that while, yes, a lot of these do come from the same places, the difference when something is, you know, FDA approved for human consumption, it's more than just how was it made. It's how was it made, and then how is it transported all along the way from the point of manufacture to the point of sale on the pharmacy shelf. There's different controls. There's, you know, shipping and requirements, temperature control requirements. Basically, if you're buying, you don't get the same, I guess, regulations and requirements from a pet antibiotic sitting on a shelf than you would for the human. And that's not to say that they've all gone bad and they've all been improperly handled. It's just to say that those same requirements aren't there. And so that's just an extra, I guess, word of caution to people who are depending on pet antibiotics. Those are some of the differences.
I guess wouldn't the dosages of the fish antibiotics be a little bit different too?
This is the irony of that is, and it's, I don't understand it, is that, no, they're not. They're actually in a lot of times they're in the same human, doses. So you're giving your little goldfish, the same dose of, I don't know, amoxicillin that you're giving yourself. Don't ask me how that works in a fish's biology, because I I don't know. But yeah, okay. They are actually in similar doses.
I did not know that. Thank you. For some reason, I don't know. It just seems normal that a tiny little fish would get a different antibiotic than me, but okay.
It does seem crazy. But back to, you know, what I don't know is how long did that antibiotic sit in a shipping container, in what conditions, you know, that provenance of it is not as rigorously tracked or required to be as rigorously tracked as what you'd get off your pharmacy shelf for yourself. Right. So that's for me personally, and whether I'm going to take it or give it to my children, if I have the option, I'm obviously going to choose, something that was meant to be consumed for humans. Right. Yeah.
So you did talk a lot about sourcing. So then I'm sure, you know, you're very particular about where the antibiotics for Jace Medical are sourced as well. Is that correct?
Well, it's being particular and being able to do anything about it. I don't know if they're two right. different things, but, and that's part of, maybe the, if you want to talk about Jace Medical, you know, a decade from now, I would love, to have our own, domestic supply chain, domestic production of these medications. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is right now we are basically at the, we have to go to the same wholesalers and the same manufacturers that the rest of the world does. And it really just highlights kind of the overall issue, which is that we're trying to get them from the same place that Canada, that the US, that everywhere else in the world is trying to get them. Mm-hmm. And so when there are shortages, they affect us as well. Mm-hmm. We do our best to stay a little bit ahead of here, you know, if we hear that something's coming up, we'll do our best to get ahead of that. You know, something that most people don't know is your neighborhood pharmacy, whether that be a massive chain like Walmart or Walgreens, or whether it be, you know, your mom and pop, single shop pharmacy, all of them basically run, they'll have just enough medication on hand to last them, you know, a day or two. A lot of times if you've gone in to maybe ask for something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, they don't carry it, and they can get it in 24 hours. And even the ordinary stuff, maybe a particular dose of an antibiotic, we don't have that today, but we'll get it for you tomorrow. And they're used to being able to do that. And you know, you get, it's, and I do it in my practice, where I know I can get this med in 24 hours. And that's the industry. So in turn for us, we try to get what we can when it comes to extra supply, of the, particularly the antibiotics that we deal with, because we've, you know, I talk about shortages, like this isn't like a, maybe one day it'll happen. It's here. Right. Everyone knows right now there's a huge, issue with children's amoxicillin. Mm-hmm. That then spilled over into Augmentin, that then started to affect azithromycin. It's happening now, and it's happened before. We've had issues last summer, I want to say it was ciprofloxacin, a really important, useful antibiotic. A little bit before that, it was doxycycline, another ubiquitous antibiotic that is in our kit. We don't always hear about them as much as we have this last go around, but they happen routinely, and they're getting worse. They're happening more often. It's a more frequent, and it's usually more impactful, lasts for longer. I think the amoxicillin is supposed to be at least until this first or second quarter of 2023 before they Wow. anticipate maybe getting caught up. So all the more reason, I think, just back to trying to do what we can to get outside the system. We don't have production capacity in the US. If we wanted to all of a sudden do it, if I could snap my fingers and make it happen, it would take at least 3 years just to get the facility built up, the fermentation process to actually make the, you know, the base ingredients, is a long process. So obviously these are big things, but what can we do as individuals right now, is what you do is, and that's your world, and that's preparedness. And there is a safe way to do this, to be prepared, to have the medications, to know how to use them, and to have a resource for additional questions should you have them.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm super frustrated that we don't have, that the U.S. does not have a facility making, you know, our domestic antibiotics and stuff like that. It's super frustrating. And
it's crazy to realize that. So we include, so our kit, what's in our kit, there's five antibiotics. And these were specifically curated. A lot of thought went behind which five should we include. I'd love to give everyone, you know, a little bit of everything, but you've right. got safety considerations, you've got cost considerations. And so the thought was, okay, what's going to be the most cost effective? It's also going to be cover the most, the widest variety of the most common infections, but then we also want to cover some the most deadly infections. And so that's how these five antibiotics, that's why there's what we've included in the kit. When you talk about the most deadly, what we're covering for is BioTerra. And so in the United States, for BioTerra, they've identified anthrax, the plague, and tularemia are kind of the top three agents that have been identified as potential BioTerra agents. Now, all of them, you know, for example, anthrax, plague in an aerosolized form, in a true BioTerra event, if you were exposed to them, are basically 100% fatal. But they can be effectively treated with oral antibiotics. And there's two in particular. One is doxycycline and the other is ciprofloxacin. Both of these are effective to treat either of those BioTerra agents. And what's supposed to happen is, in the event of, let's say there was a BioTerra attack in a city or town, basically everyone is supposed to be on prophylactic dosing of one of those two agents, doxy or cipro, within 24 hours. And so if imagine if that were to happen, the likelihood of being able to get dosages dispensed to every mm-mm. human in the region within 24 hours is probably next to impossible. Yeah. So we include these in the kit. You've got them on hand ahead of time. And what I was getting to your point of being frustrated about not having these medications domestically produced, is think about, I don't know how a BioTerra, like who's going to be behind a BioTerra attack, but you can think of maybe a few possibilities. And the irony is that we've got stockpiles of these medications for this event that the military is going to be dependent on for our soldiers and, of course, for the population. Mm-hmm. And all of these medications are supplied and produced by China. It's just, it doesn't make any sense.
I laugh, not
because it's funny, but just because what else can you do other than shake your head, try and prepare for yourself and for your family. And then hopefully, as we get enough support, a groundswell of public support, we can make changes, make big changes. The government should be involved. We should have this production as it's a national security issue. And we hope to be a part of that.
I mean, how long have prescription antibiotics been around? It has to be long enough for us to realize, you know, that we need to.
It's a follow the money thing. If you look back at when the last plant closed here in the U.S., that was producing ingredients for antibiotics. This was in the 90s. Like everything else, you know, manufacturing wise in our country, you follow the money, as I mentioned, the medications, these generic medications are very inexpensive. They're very accessible. There's not a lot of money to be made in them. And so that's why we don't have production here. There's not good money in it. But when you talk about national security and subsidizing things that are of national security interest, I would think that we would have realized that and maintain some kind of capacity. But hopefully that day's coming.
Well, I hope so. And I hope that, I mean, you know, you can rally the troops or whatever. I mean, like, I don't right. know what I can do or what individuals can do or whatever, but like, you know, I hope that it can happen. I don't know how to make that happen, but.
Yeah, okay. It's here and there. It's happening with some in Congress a little bit. It's at least being talked about now more than it was. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that awareness is growing. It's taking time. And then as world events occur, some of that stuff maybe gets put more to the forefront because of geopolitical things that are going on and which yeah. on the one hand is bad because they're going on and it's disruptive. But on the other hand, maybe it'll wake us up and hopefully we can make the changes we need to in time.
Well, let's hope. That's really eye opening. But I guess so you were talking about the five. So there are five antibiotics included in the kit. Yes?
Correct.
And so what are they?
Sure. So amoxicillin. Sorry, I'm hearing a little bit of, there we go. There's five antibiotics. Amoxicillin. And it's not just amoxicillin, it's amoxicillin clavulanate, which the brand name for that medication is Augmentin. It's kind of like a super amoxicillin. Covers all the same things amoxicillin does plus more. Then we've got azithromycin. Most people know that, maybe like a Z-Pak, if they've heard that name before. That's another one that is very useful for respiratory issues. And then is also useful for people who may be allergic to penicillin, because amoxicillin clavulanate is a penicillin type antibiotic. And so people who have a true allergy to penicillin aren't able to take it, but azithromycin is a good alternative in a lot of cases. And so that's a good combo there. So we've got the Augmentin, I'll call it, the azithromycin. Then we have ciprofloxacin, which I touched on a little bit. Not just for biotear, ciprofloxacin is another good one for anything in the GI, in the genital urinary tract, so urinary tract infections, and a lot of other stuff. And then we've got the doxycycline, which I also mentioned. Doxycycline is just kind of an all-around, really useful, good for respiratory, good for sinusitis. There's skin infections. It's a pretty broad spectrum oral antibiotic that's good for a lot of different things. And then we've got metronidazole. And metronidazole is a little bit more specific. It's typically used in kind of abdominal things. And then not that it's a much, there's much better alternatives, but when we're talking about being in an austere environment, you're truly, you know, don't have access to modern medical care. You're worried about tetanus. Metronidazole is kind of a, hey, it's kind of effective. It's better than nothing, but it's kind of, so we throw it in there, for that. So geez, I didn't even count my five. Did I do five yet?
I think it was five. Yeah.
That is five.
I think I even miscounted. I was like, wait a minute. He was all five and then he's talking about another one. Uh-oh. I'm pretty sure I miscounted too. I'm pretty sure that was five. We'll probably roll back.
So those are the five. And then we just recently added on two, they're not antibiotics, but we're trying to, and maybe we'll get into that kind of what's in the future for Jace. But a few months ago, we added on two additional medications. One is called fluconazole. Fluconazole, or Diflucan is the brand name that people might be familiar with. It's anti-yeast medication. Typically, it's the most common use for it is in women who have yeast infections. Okay. And so we added that one. And then we also added another drug called Ondansetron. That's Zofran is the brand name. And that's an anti-emetic or an anti-vomiting, anti-nausea medication dealing with maybe gastroenteritis or something like that. You've got the antibiotics, and then you've also got the anti-vomiting, the Zofran in there. And so those are, we treat them as add-ons. They don't come as just a standard part of the kit. They're extra. Obviously, you know, the males we don't prescribe fluconazole to the males. And so they wouldn't be eligible for those add-ons, but right. Those are two additional medications that we're including now.
Okay. So you're talking about telemedicine, and all this tele stuff. Everything is tele these days, which I kind of like, you know, like since COVID, everything, it can be handled via like video, and I am here for it. So I think that's pretty cool. I mean, before that, I just have a quick question about that, and then I'm going to get to my actual question. Like before COVID, was there a lot of telemedicine going on?
Well, I mean, telemedicine's, yes, it's been going on for a while now. What COVID did more, you know, the technology's been going, and you could do a video chat with your doctor, you know, 5 years ago, even more. Mm-hmm. And so in that regard, it's not new. But really, it just got put in this fast forward, both from a, I guess, public adoption standpoint and from a practitioner adoption standpoint. When COVID first hit and everything got shut down, I remember, in our clinic, it was 100% telemedicine, and we had some doctors in the clinic who had never done telemedicine. And so all of a sudden everyone was forced, you have to do telemedicine. And same for the patients. Right. And so people got used to it and saw that, hey, this is actually there. This makes a lot of sense. It's convenient. It's safer. Now it's not meant for every condition. It's not meant, you know, as this final solution for everything, but in those cases where it's appropriate, it's great. It's amazing. And then the last piece of that was, yes, there were regulations that were lagging our healthcare system is really, there's federal oversight, and then there's state by state rules and regulations and laws. And so those regulations were also, I guess, helped by COVID. Now it's unfortunate that as COVID is kind of, you know, we hope that we're kind of on the other side of it. A lot of those regulations have since been rolled back, and there's been a little bit of pushback about that. But overall, we've come a long ways due to COVID with telemedicine, and that's how we're able to really leverage the power of telemedicine, which allows a physician to really not be constrained by geography and can be anywhere. And so it's a force multiplier in delivering healthcare to people who otherwise have limited access, everyone has their, you know, maybe you live in a really, really rural area. Maybe it's hard for you to get out of your house, maybe whatever the reason is. Or maybe you have a doctor, and when you call for an appointment, it takes 3 to 4 to 5 weeks to get to see them. Right. That's another part of what we're doing here is, you can do this. You can go to your doctor and ask him for these 5 meds. Every doctor is going to be a little bit different. Some of them might flat out be like, no, they just don't understand what you're doing. Mm. But all that's included in that, you got to make the appointment. You got to travel to the doctor. You got to explain to him, here's what I'm doing, why I want to do it. Now, all of this is going to be out of pocket because none of this will be covered by insurance. So you're paying out of pocket for that doctor visit. You're then going to get these 5 prescriptions. You're gonna have to go to the pharmacy. You're going to pay retail rates at whatever pharmacy you find. And you can do that. And I would say, hey, if that's the way you want to do it, what I ultimately care about is that everyone's prepared. Right. Now, we spent a lot of time and effort and think we've come up with a pretty good solution for people where they can sit in their home. It takes 5, 6, maybe 10 minutes to go through the encounter, where you log on to our site, you start the encounter, asks you a few basic health questions, you pay the fee. And if everything's great, the doctor has no questions, then that's pretty much it. You're done. You'll wait a few days and your medications arrive on your doorstep. In some cases, the doctor might have a little clarifying question about something on your form, you know, whether medication you're taking or whatever the case may be. And they'll reach out to you and get that question answered. It's usually pretty either by text, email, or phone. Right. And same thing, you get that, they answer that question. Medications get sent to the farm, or the prescription gets sent to the pharmacy, and you get it on your door. Typically the whole process, from the time you sit at your computer and place that order to actually receive the medications, depending on where you're at with the mail system, but it takes anywhere from 3 to 5 days. So that's kind of that's your choice there of different ways you can do this. And I think the solution we've come up with is really, again, with the goal of just wanting everyone to be aware of this and to have the tools they need. We could be making more money. We could be doing things in a different way, but this is how we felt was the best way to really help empower people.
And I love it. And it's so funny. You were just mentioning the, like, you know, waiting for a doctor appointment for a few weeks. I literally made a doctor appointment. I called like 2 weeks ago, and the earliest was January 13th. So, and I was like, I mean, like, it's not emergency or anything like that, but like, come on, like 4 weeks, exactly. Like, I get it, you know, like whatever, but.
Nope.
And so, go ahead.
You've dealt with it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sure every single person listening to this understands what you're saying, you know, and I'm sure as a physician, you know, you've heard it, you've seen it and all that, you know, so like, you know, yep. you're no stranger to it. And so, I mean, this is all totally legal, you know, based on the US's policies. Now you're also in Canada, right?
Correct. Yeah. So obviously in the US they're any prescription you receive needs to come from a physician who's licensed to practice in your state. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to cover the US that way. In Canada, it's basically the same, but they need to be licensed in a Canadian physician licensed in Canada. And the medications actually come from a Canadian pharmacy. So we do cover everywhere in Canada, and we're hard at work to open up a number of other countries around the world.
Yeah, I get a lot of people that are like, oh, what about the, you know, Europe? And I'm like, well, you know, I tell them, well, I think they have to, you know, go by the policies of that country or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, you know, yeah. And that's the trick. Yeah, yeah, there's little different considerations there. But it was, I'll be honest, I was pretty hyper-focused on the system I knew, which is the U.S. healthcare system and you know, where I live. But as soon as we started here, we got emails and calls from people all over who it turns out that we're, again, goes back to everyone standing in the same line from the same factories for these medications. They deal with the same shortages, in everywhere around the world. And they're dealing with all the same, you know, in sometimes worse geopolitical situations or maybe natural disasters, things that have disrupted their access to healthcare. Doesn't matter if you are in a socialized healthcare system or whatever the case may be, your access to healthcare is ripe for disruption in one form or another. So it's front of mind for everybody. COVID was global. So these people, everyone's kind of realized now, wow, there's certain things that I've always taken for granted that are vital to my health. It's something that, we're putting a lot of effort into kind of increasing the reach outside the US and Canada.
Absolutely. You know, like I have Jace, you know, sitting in my house, and, you know, every time I talk about it, people are just like, oh, that's what we need, more medications. And I'm like, I'm not over here popping antibiotics every day. Like, you know, it's just there for just in case, like if, you know, something happens and I need, you know, one of those antibiotics or, you know, whatever, I have it. I don't have to go wait for my doctor. I don't have to, just the exact process you were just explaining. I don't have to. If I can help, you know, if I can read that pamphlet and I can diagnose and understand, you know, that I need to take this medication for this long, et cetera, then I can do that. And I have that, you know, for that, just in case. Again, I'm not taking them every day because I have a cold and a sniffle or something. Like, that's ridiculous, exactly. You know?
Right. But that's not what they're for. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe you are able to get a hold of a physician, you know, a nurse practitioner, some qualified person, at least by phone, and they can, and here's what you need to do. And if you can get it, oh yeah, I do. It's right here in my medicine cabinet. I've got it. Yeah. There's just a lot of different scenarios where, it could be and would be very beneficial and useful to already have on hand. Antibiotics are a little bit unique in that too, which was another, kind of back to that choosing antibiotics first. You know, when you do need them, you need them now. The bacterial infections, typically are a lot worse, than typical viral infections. So when you do have a bad bacterial infection, it's not something like, well, I can wait a few days. If you need medications, you need them now.
Right.
And so that access is important. And we've seen, gosh, just look at Buffalo. We have a nurse that works for us who lives there, and just sent me this email just a couple of days ago explaining kind of what the situation was like on the ground there and just how horrible it was. Like, this is, you're talking about, like, this is New York, you know, this is in the US, New York, it's not in the middle of nowhere. And here's this town that is going through just some horror. I mean, it was, some of the accounts she was telling me were just heartbreaking people who were just, who were absolutely homebound. You could not leave your house to go anywhere, urgent care, hospital. People were, you had women giving birth at home. You had people who were literally dying at home because they, you just couldn't get out of your house to get help, or, and nor could people get to you to give you help. Those little things, I mean, little, I shouldn't say little, those, those kinds of things. I mean, they happen, and it's, this isn't just a, it's not so far-fetched to think that one day you might actually need one of those medications in your kit. And just like you said, it's not meant to be there to have just so that you can take a pill anytime you have a sniffle. That's not, that is not at all what it's intended for. But there's a real, we've seen enough examples, and every time I do these interviews, there's a new example I can talk about. Whether it's like the Buffalo issue, whether it's the hurricane and we had down in Florida. I mean, it just one after the other where people have had their access to healthcare and medications disrupted. So hopefully that's, and we're probably, I know we're preaching to the choir here with your audience, but what I think is maybe just as important is that these people then can be the messengers to their friends and neighbors and family to help others who maybe aren't as clued into these things, to point this out and what the resources are that are out there. And that is, this isn't a far-fetched out there thing. It's at our doorstep. And any one of us, Buffalo could be anywhere.
I think you're touching on, two things here. One, a lot of people have, horse blinders on, I like to call, just because, we live in a very modern society and where we have instant access to all these things all the time, right? I can call up my doctor. I can go to my doctor. I can get all these things, and you can, right? But what if you can't?
Like, yeah, you're, you can until you can't.
In that, right. You can until you can't. And you're talking that on, you're touching on that second thing, the access. You have to have access. If you do not have access because of a snowstorm or a hurricane or whatever else is, you know, or a trucker strike or whatever it is, you do not have access to these things. You cannot get them. So that that's the most important thing to think about. And that's what, you know, drives preparedness, everything. If I don't have access to food or water, all these things, right? And
I mean, and it's not just your, it's not just your, maybe what's happening in your backyard, it's everywhere along that supply chain. What happened at the factory, from the ship transporting it across the ocean to the docks, to the truck that it gets loaded on or the train, you know, is there a, is there a union issue with the trains, like we've been talking about the last few months? Is there, I mean, there's any number one of those, any one of those could all of a sudden from one day to the next make it so that your pharmacy, who depends on that next day access, as soon as they don't have it, give them a day or two and their shelves will be completely bare. It doesn't take much.
How long can the antibiotics be stored for?
A good, really good question. Man, I'm going to try and be less long-winded, but the quick answer is much longer than what's printed on the bottle. The, they are, of course, the manufacturer has to print something on the bottle, and typically it's what you'll see is maybe two. If you're lucky, you'll get a bottle that has a, an expiration date 3 years down the road, but usually you'll get it from 1 to 2 years. The U.S. government, the FDA and the Department of Defense have put a lot of resources and money into, doing what's a really long longitudinal study in how long do these medications really last. And you can look all this up. It's called the Shelf Life Extension Program. It's done through the FDA on behalf of the Department of Defense. And, they've got all this published data out there. It's public information. And what they found was that when stored properly, and properly means not too hot, not too cold, and definitely not wet. So you want it to, you want to be in kind of a cool, dry environment. These medications last, on average, all of them are good for 5 years, but most of them, including the ones in our kit, have been shown to retain more than 90% of their potency for as long as 15 years and beyond. So if you store them properly, you can count on 5 years. Now we recommend, you know, we have to follow the rules and regulations of every state. your pharmacist has his own laws to follow, and they can't, they will put an expiration date 1 year from the time it was prescribed. And so we follow that recommendation, and you'll get a nudge from us after a year saying, hey, it's been a year. Do you want to reorder any of your meds? Mm. So there's kind of it's a multi-layered nuanced answer. But there you go.
Right. No, that's great. I love that, you know, you've stuck with what the government's saying, but also the government, you know, has that test that, you know, says, yeah, right. You know, the it can prolong, you know, the expiration. So, I mean, you know, take the information with how you want to take it kind of thing.
Exactly.
But 90% potency, I think that's still pretty dang good. It's not like 50% or less, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And that's in antibiotics, you know, they're in that regard. Some medications have this really narrow therapeutic window and dosing where they've got to be any little adjustment one way or the other really throws off what you're trying to do. But with antibiotics, you've got a little bit of room there typically. And so, yeah, I would be comfortable personally for myself and my family if that was my only option. I had some medications that were 10 years old that I felt good about and had been stored properly and I didn't have anything else, I'd feel good about using them.
Totally. Now, I have two more questions for you. I know that Jace just came out with antibiotics that were safe for 12-year-olds and up. Was that right? 12?
Yeah. So that pack we call the Jace case, that 5 antibiotics, is available for 12 and older. The reason is that dosing, basically a 12, 13-year-old is taking an adult dose of the antibiotics. And so the dosing doesn't change for a 13-year-old or 12-year-old up to an adult. And then the other reason is that they're all pills. And of course, you know, less than 12, when you're talking about 6, 7, you know, those a lot of those kids have a hard time with pills. And so, yes, that's how it is today, is 12 and older.
So my next question, I'm sure this is actually, I guess, my second to last follow up on that, you know, because I have small young kids, you know, 6-year-olds, 3-year-old, any of that. Now, do you even recommend antibiotics for under 12 at all?
So sure. I mean, their need for these important medications is the same as ours. But the complexity is I guess the tricky part here. I mentioned the dosing. So, and you see this when you take a children's Tylenol or ibuprofen on the back of the bottle, you know, if this age or this weight, here's how much you're supposed to give them. Right. Same thing's true for antibiotics. And so we are pretty close here to being able to offer an equivalent kind of pack, but for that pediatric population, where with very good instruction and resources for the parents to be able to properly dose the medication. But then also you've got to mix them. The medication comes in a powder, and as soon as it's reconstituted, it is only good for a week to 10 days is what they recommend, right? You keep it in your fridge for up to 10 days. This one does degrade a lot faster. So, but if you keep it in that powder form, then it's the same, you know, it's going to be treated the same as your other medications, and you can keep it for a lot longer. But then that means you need to know exactly how much how much water to put in that bottle and how to mix it properly. So there's just a lot more instruction and education that goes along with that. It's a bigger, it's a more complicated, I guess, process. And so we've been working with pediatric pharmacists and others to come up with a safe solution to be able to also service that population of patients, the pediatric, the kiddos. And that shouldn't be too far off.
Well, awesome. I'm glad to hear that you guys are putting a lot of thought into this, you know, and you know, like when I was thinking about the antibiotics for my kids, because like you're saying, you know, like with the liquid Tylenol and all this other stuff, you know, it is very specific. And again, my kids, they will not take a pill. They just won't, you know. And so, you know, especially like a 3-year-old or something, you're just not going to have them taking a pill, you know. And So I was thinking, I was like, well, it's got to be some sort of liquid or something. And that literal thought process in my head was, well, that can't last very long if it's in a liquid form. So the right. fact that you brought up a powder, I'm like really like amped up and excited about this now. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that news. So, but I do have one last question. How do you feel, like, as a physician, as a trained doctor and physician, in, you know, modern medicine and everything, how do you feel about, like, herbalism and stuff like that? Now, this is totally off track of antibiotics, but I'd ask you this.
That's funny. That one came up. We it came up kind of as from a I did an interview a little while back, and it was more of a, I think it was a, one of the viewers brought it up. What I'll say, my big disclaimer at the beginning is that I'm a traditionally trained family medicine physician in Western medicine. The only time we get exposed to anything that's, you know, natural remedies or you know, herbal remedies is in the context of, you know, maybe an interaction it might have with a prescribed medication or some kind of an overdose or you know, like toxicology kind of situation. So it's really limited, and I am by no means, I'm not an expert at all. With that said, I do think that there is a place for them. I think that, and it's one of those things that I'm learning more about, you know, as time goes on here, it's stuff that I look into, I'm interested in, that there is a time and there is a place for a lot of these kinds I don't call them remedies, substances, all the different herbs that are out there. Some of them very powerful. And so I think as we're looking at preparedness in a holistic way, I think we should embrace everything that's at our disposal. Yes. If that's Western medicine with antibiotics and other, you know, whether you're a person that suffers from diabetes or high blood pressure, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't discount anything just out of hand, just because like, oh, it's an alternative form of medicine. It can't be good. You know, right. You've got functional medicine. There's other things out there. It's a big universe. And I don't think that Western medicine has every answer and every, you know, like it's not a perfect system. I mean, geez, just look at the current issues with the vaccine, with the all this. And I don't want to, you know, we don't have to get into all that other than, and I only use it to say that even within the medical community, there's a lot of discussion. And so really just saying that we don't have all the answers. It's not a perfect system. And so getting long-winded here, but I would say yes, there's a place for them. Everything, the more education you get, the better off you're going to be. And I think keeping your options open, does that. It keeps your options open. So I'm all for it. Same as everything else, as long as everything's being done, with the proper, you mentioned it kind of in your answer with, your responsible approach to the Jace case, for example. The same would be said for anything, including herbals, supplements, anything like that.
Yeah, 100%. That's fantastic. That's an answer I would expect from just about anyone. You know, I think we need to educate ourselves and look into it and understand, you know, how and why and when to use these things. And it's a mix of both. It's not like I'm gonna, you know, totally. I still have, you know, over-the-counter medications, but I'm also learning herbalism, these kinds of things. And if I can, you know, use one over the other or use one and then use the other or whatever, you know, like, it's not like, you know, modern medicine has really come a long way and we can't like discount that, but we can't like, you know, I don't think
it can't be fully dependent on it. I think, look at where these medications came from. I mean, they all came from some type of natural source. Right. And in a lot of cases, we've been able to synthesize that and maybe, you know, amplify the potency and things like that. But ultimately, everything comes from a natural source, and we forget a lot of that after a long time goes by. But if you look back, there's so much knowledge or just amazing capabilities, I should say, out there when it comes to to different herbs and other substances that I think is in some, unfortunately, is a lot of forgotten knowledge. I think the more time and effort you put into that, you'll start to see that, like, maybe some commonality, where those lines cross between kind of modern medicine and some of the more ancient or alternative medical practices.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Just really, really fascinating. Deep dive into that stuff. You could really spend a few hours getting lost.
Oh, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was just an amazing discussion. I'm so glad you shared your insight and your passion and your knowledge with us. And I just hope that everybody's able to hear this and then go over to jacemedical.com and check them out. They have a fantastic FAQ section and they're so accessible. Every time I reach out during email or on Instagram, I mean, just there's somebody always there to help out and just such a great team. I've never it's so rare is what I'm saying to find a company that's just so accessible like this these days. You know, they're just so open and, you know, willing to answer all these questions, all these crazy questions everybody has, you know, but definitely go to Jace Medical. Thank you so much. And thank you for bringing this and making this available to us. I mean, this was such just an innovation and I'm so thankful for it. And I hope that everybody is able to go check out jacemedical.com. And
thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for the time, for those kind words. We hope we're just scratching the surface here as far as meeting people's needs. We've got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline we are passionate about it and we're trying to share that passion with others. Again, I think your audience is already, you know, you guys get it. But any help in spreading that and spreading the word is welcome and much appreciated.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to see what Jace does in the future and hope to have you on in a couple of years when you start manufacturing your own antibiotics. Okay. Couple of years, right? Was that the ETA?
You're right.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Roland, and everybody again. Check out jacemedical.com. And you guys can always come check me out at roguepreparedness.com or just search me out on the web, Rogue Preparedness, and you'll find me. Thank you all so much for watching listening, rather. Conquer tomorrow by preparing today. I'll talk to you later. Bye.